If you and your team want to cut down on busy work and get more choice and control over accounts payable, you need BILL. BILL Accounts Payable is your secret weapon for saving time on AP. And with a special offer at bill.com/podcast, you'll save money too. With BILL, streamline your entire AP process, including bill creation, approvals, and payments. You can pay with ACH, credit card, check, and international wire transfer. Plus, you can easily integrate with most accounting software. No wonder hundreds of thousands of businesses are already using BILL to manage their AP. Schedule a free demo now to see how BILL can automate your financial operations. And right now, get 15% off when you subscribe to BILL Accounts Payable. There's never been a better time to sign up. This special offer is available for a limited time only at bill.com/podcast. Terms apply. See bill.com/podcast for details.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Dead America. Tales of the First Month. The Nurse. Day 0 plus 1. 4:32 a.m. Beaufort, South Carolina, was nestled along the coast, just to the north of the popular resort town of Hilton Head. The small community was very low-key, with a mix of working class and military families thanks to Paris Island being just a few miles away. Very little happened in Beaufort, especially during the overnight shift at the hospital. At least, very little happened on normal nights.
"I need an IV on this patient right now," Betty barked, blowing a wisp of her blonde hair from her face.
Her bun had been coming loose for hours now, and she hadn't had a spare second to wrestle it back into submission.
"They bit me,"
her patient gasped, eyes unfocused, body limp.
Why did they bite me?"
Betty studied the several bite marks on the woman's arms and legs, and she didn't have an answer for her. They were human bite marks, that much was clear, and she had no idea what kind of people would do this to someone. She'd never heard of a cannibal cult in Beaufort, of all places. Betty grabbed a roll of gauze from the tray next to the woman's gurney, but before she could apply them, two paramedics rushed over to her.
"Betty, we need that transport back," one of them said.
"In a minute,"
she said, fighting to keep her voice as level as possible. The paramedic leaned closer as she focused on stopping her patient's bleeding, and he put his hand on her shoulder. Betty paused. He never touched her, and she was about to turn her head, but he moved so close to her ear that she realized he was trying to whisper to her.
"We've had 7 calls in the last 10 minutes, he hissed,
his breath hot against her ear.
"We need this transport."
Her eyes widened. Most overnight shifts, it was rare they'd even get 7 calls total, let alone 7 in this short amount of time. She shook her head, imagining what sort of horrific event must have happened.
"Was there a wreck?" she breathed. "A shooting?"
He shook his head, stepping away from her.
"They're all over town," he said. "I don't know what's going on, but you need to get prepared."
Betty nodded and moved to the side of the gurney.
"Help me get her moved to the bed," she instructed,
waving to both of the paramedics. They rushed forward, and the three of them lifted the wounded woman from the gurney to the bed. She let out a soft, pained grunt as she touched down on the mattress, whispering about bites.
"We'll be back soon," the paramedic said. "Get more people here."
Betty nodded, struggling to deal with the shock rippling through her. Her patient began to moan in pain, and she turned back with the gauze, pressing against one of the deeper bites on her arm that was bleeding the worst.
"You're going to be okay, ma'am," she cooed gently. "Just try to relax."
"Why did they bite me?"
the woman whispered, staring at the ceiling with red-rimmed eyes. Betty glanced over at movement in her periphery as one of the other nurses, Haley, entered the small emergency room.
"I need you over here,"
Betty called. Haley approached, shaking her head.
"No, I have to go upstairs," she replied.
"What's going on?" Betty snapped.
"Dr. Rivera just requested help upstairs," Haley explained, pointing at the ceiling. I can't stay. What does he need? Betty demanded. Haley shook her head. I don't know, she admitted, but he seemed rattled. He'll be fine for a few minutes on his own, Betty said, inclining her head to the bleeding woman. We're pulling double duty because we're short-staffed, and everybody else in the building is up there, and I need you down here. Haley winced. Speaking of, Jessica called in a few minutes ago. Damn it, Betty muttered, shaking her head. Okay, I need you to start calling day shift and get them in right now. What? Haley asked, blinking at her in surprise. You have one patient in the ER right now. I know it's pretty full with whatever bug is going around, but they're sedated. Something bad is going on in town, Betty explained. The paramedics that just dropped her off said they got 7 calls in 10 minutes, and they're all over town. Haley's eyes widened. Okay, I'll start call. The intercom beeped, cutting her off.
Please, we need help up here.
A woman begged through the speaker, her voice frantic and panicked.
Anybody, please. We're on the 2nd floor, room 237.
The nurses exchanged a confused look. Who the hell was that? Betty asked. Haley shook her head. I have no idea.
Please, Dr. Rivera is in trouble.
The woman cried through the intercom. The nurses looked at each other again, and then both jumped at the sound of a gunshot going off upstairs. Betty immediately looked down at the wounded woman, taking her semi-good hand and placing it on the gauze on her other one. The patient moaned and let out a pained grunt at the movement. Hold this here, Betty instructed softly, in an apologetic voice. We'll be right back, promise. She turned and ran for the stairs with Haley right behind her, just as another set of paramedics rolled in with a patient. The man on the gurney had a deep bite mark on his throat, bleeding all over the mattress and floor. Just put them in an empty bed, Betty barked as she flew past. Not my job, the paramedic snapped. And besides, you need to sign paperwork. The nurse whipped around to face him with fire in her eyes. Just fucking do it, she snapped. Another gunshot went off upstairs, and the paramedic blinked at her with wide eyes, nodding profusely. The nurses continued their run to the stairs as a couple more shots cracked rapidly. They threw open the stairwell doors and ran up, quickly getting to the 2nd floor. They came out in the bulk of the non-ER portion of the hospital. Patient rooms lined the hallway, double booked on this night, machinery and other features in the pharmacy room. Most of the doors were closed, with patients and their families inside. At the far end of the hall was a panicked-looking woman whipping around rapidly, and when she spotted the two nurses, she waved at them frantically. As they got closer to her, they took in her wild eyes and tears streaming down her face.
Oh, my God! They shot him! She gasped,
scrubbing her hands down her face.
They shot him!
Ma'am, I need you to calm down and tell me what happened,
Betty said in as level a voice as she could muster.
Betty?
Haley hissed and pointed to the room, where another nurse was waving for them to come inside. Betty took the sobbing woman's shoulders and moved her gently to a nearby seat, sitting her down before following Haley into the room.
What the hell is going on? Betty demanded. Was that gunfire?
The nurse was vacant-eyed, seeming like she was in shock at what she had seen.
Betty, Haley, in here.
Dr. Rivera's aged voice came from the other side of the room, and they turned towards the older doctor. They approached him, finding him standing over a patient that was passed out on the bed, skin pallid and sweaty. A woman and teenage boy sat on the other side of the bed, likely his family, looking very concerned. Dr. Rivera's arm was held out at an angle as a nurse wrapped it up in gauze. Behind him stood Jimmy, one of the night security guards, his handgun sitting on the table next to him. He looked shaken, eyes downcast, and a shorter nurse stood next to him, talking in soft, quiet tones and asking him questions to get him through his shock. Betty gasped when she spotted the body on the floor beside the doctor. Someone in a patient's gown lay face down on the floor. There were several obvious bullet wounds in his back, but a large pool of blood around his head, where there was a large part of it missing.
Dr. Rivera, what is going on?
Betty finally asked, throwing up her hands.
I'll tell you what's going on,
Jimmy blurted shrilly.
This motherfucker went crazy and started attacking Dr. Rivera.
He motioned wildly to the body on the ground, and the nurse that had been whispering to him leapt back in surprise.
So, I had to put him down.
Which I still think was unnecessary, Dr. Rivera said dryly. But thank you for getting him to stop nonetheless.
That's what I'm here for, Doc,
Jimmy muttered, flopping against the wall, shoulders slumping.
What do you mean he attacked you? Haley asked, voice quivering. I thought all of the sick were sedated.
He was, the nurse tending to the doctor's arm piped up.
I checked him an hour ago, and his vitals were low, but stable. He coded a few minutes ago, and...
That's when I came in, Dr. Rivera cut in. When I reached down to manually check his vitals, he attacked. Ferociously, I might add. If he wasn't in the hospital, I would swear he was in perfect health with the way he came at me.
Betty shook her head violently.
So what is it? She asked.
I don't know, he admitted. And until I do, we have to lock this facility down. We have to go into quarantine.
The room fell deathly silent, as that was a significant escalation in a short amount of time.
Doctor?
The nurse finished wrapping his arm, and her voice held an edge of panic to it.
Every patient on this floor has a mysterious illness that hit them at about the same time, Dr. Rivera explained. It's the same thing this patient had, and he turned violent. Until I'm confident that it was an isolated incident, nobody comes in or out.
Betty put her hands on her hips.
What are we supposed to tell the paramedics? She asked.
Tell them to divert to Hilton Head, he instructed. It's not like they get that many calls this time of night anyway.
Betty jutted out her chin.
We've had 2 patients delivered in the last 10 minutes, and one of them told me they had another 7 calls pending, she said.
Are any of them still here? Dr. Rivera asked.
Maybe, she replied, shaking her head. One patient was being dropped off when we came up.
Okay, he replied, motioning to the door. Go talk to them and tell them we're on quarantine. Let them out so they can deal with whatever is going on out there. Jimmy, once they're clear, you lock the sliding doors and chain up the double front doors.
The security guard straightened his shoulders.
Doctor, with all due respect, if we're under quarantine, then nobody should be allowed to leave, even the paramedics, he pointed out. I understand, Dr. Rivera replied. But something bad is happening around town, he shook his head. Nobody will blame you. Just go get this done, please.
Jimmy nodded and turned to the nurses.
Come on, girls, he said, picking up his handgun and brandishing it. I'll escort you to the lobby. When you get it locked up, come back up here, Dr. Rivera said. We have to let the patients and their families know what's going on and try to figure out what our next move is.
The 2 nurses nodded and followed Jimmy down the hallway. Several of the patient families looked out through the glass windows with concern, confused about what was happening. And Betty put up her hand, offering smiles to reassure them and waving at them to stay in their rooms. She wished she could siphon some of that reassurance for herself, because she didn't fully believe that things were going to be okay at all. They reached the stairs and quickly descended, coming out onto the main floor of the hospital. It was eerily quiet, with the doors to the left and the ER to the right.
I'll go talk to the paramedics, Betty said. You 2 worry about the doors.
Jimmy huffed.
Just tell them to hurry, because I'm not waiting forever for them, he muttered.
Betty nodded and rushed off, heading into the ER. The bed where the woman had been, she was patching up when they left, was empty, and the nurse's brow furrowed. Nobody should have moved her, and she didn't think the woman would have been able to move around on her own. She was in so much pain she could barely move. There was more blood on the bed than there had been. More than was possible for the bite marks the woman had had. Betty's heartbeat roared in her ears, adrenaline spiking. She had a horrible feeling.
Hello?
She asked shakily.
Are you guys still here?
The ER wasn't that large, but several screens were set up along the space to give the illusion of privacy. Her voice echoed throughout the room, and almost immediately she heard smacking on the floor as if someone were frantically trying to get to their feet.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, Our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Find all your 4th of July needs at low prices, all in the Kroger app. Get USDA Choice bone-in tender ribeye steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit 5, then buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
A second later, one of the screens toppled over, and one of the paramedics came running back towards Betty. He was missing a huge portion of his throat, blood pouring down the front of his shirt. The nurse gaped at him in shock, her brain struggling to comprehend what she was seeing. A man with a mortal wound, who should be dead, tearing towards her with his mouth opening to let out an inhuman screech. The horrific noise startled her out of her reverie, and she reacted on instinct, hitting the wheel release on the bed in front of her and quickly sliding in between the creature and herself. The zombie paramedic hit the bed hard, reaching out and trying to grab her, but she was just out of reach. Betty glanced around him and spotted her patient from earlier, and the patient with the neck wound were on the ground, feasting on the other paramedic. His legs twitched, body convulsing as they took chunks out of his exposed flesh with their teeth. The creature continued to lunge at her from the other side of the bed, and Betty grabbed onto the safety railing on the side, moving it back and forth in an attempt to keep the ghoul at bay. The zombie paramedic let out a frustrated groan, which got the attention of one of the zombified patients. The woman dropped the chunk of flesh she was feasting on, leaping to her feet and running towards her. Betty shoved the bed forward as hard as she could, managing to knock the zombie back a bit and get in the way of the charging one. The nurse didn't hesitate, immediately turning to run back towards the others. She screamed when she reached the edge of the ER, which was completely open with no doors to shut behind her.
"Get to the stairs!" she shrieked. "Get to the stairs!"
Jimmy and Haley were securing the double doors with a chain, and both looked up at Betty's frantic instructions. Haley opened her mouth to ask what the problem was, but then her eyes widened at the sight of the zombies behind her.
"Jimmy!"
Haley screamed. The security guard finally looked up and spotted the pursuers and drew his handgun, aiming towards them. Betty veered quickly to the side as he opened fire. For all of his love of guns, Jimmy wasn't all that great of a shot. The first two trigger pulls completely missed their targets, while the third one hit the lead paramedic zombie in the chest. Haley ran for the stairwell door, meeting Betty at it at the same time. The latter pulled the door open and got inside as Jimmy loaded in another magazine and opened fire. Betty looked back as the security guard pulled the trigger as fast as he could, one of the bullets managing to hit the rushing paramedic in the forehead. The paramedic had enough momentum that even with the bullet to the face, his corpse flew into Jimmy, knocking him off balance. Before he could recover, the female patient rushed him, grabbing his arms tightly as he tried to raise his weapon again. He fired, but the shots went towards the floor as she lunged and bit into his neck. Betty pulled the door shut, latching it and backing away as Haley dissolved into sobs.
"What the hell is going on?"
she sputtered, bringing her hands to her face. Betty took her by the shoulders, forcing her to look into her eyes.
"I don't know, but we need to get back upstairs," she said firmly.
The other nurse nodded jerkily, taking a few deep breaths to pull herself together. They took the stairs up two at a time, but when they reached the landing, they paused at the sound of commotion coming from the other side. It didn't sound like a snuffle right at the door,
but within earshot of it. Betty reached out and took the handle, but Haley grabbed her arm.
"What if those things are in there?"
she asked. Betty pursed her lips. "We know for a fact they're below us, and this is the only other way out," she pointed out. "Unless you want to live out your days in a stairwell, we have to chance it."
Haley hesitated before nodding. Betty was right. She gave a silent countdown from 3 before pulling open the door. The nurses both gasped at the sight of pure chaos on the other side. At the far end of the hall, the nurse that had been tending to Dr. Rivera lay face down on the floor, her legs inside a patient room. Her body moved slightly, shifting as if something was happening to her legs. Betty was pretty sure she knew what that something was, and didn't want to see it. Before they could react to that, someone began to pound on one of the patient room windows. Betty spotted a frantic woman's face before they were dragged away, and screaming erupted inside.
"What do we do?"
Haley cried.
"We have to find Dr. Rivera,"
Betty said firmly, and led the way down the hallway at a brisk pace. She avoided running, because she didn't want to attract attention to them. A quarter of the way down the hall, they spotted Dr. Rivera emerging from the room where the fallen nurse was.
"Oh no,"
Betty breathed, as he moved in an agitated manner, uncomposed, jerking his head around as if he were sniffing something out.
"Doctor!"
Haley exclaimed, and then gasped as he whipped towards them. Blood soaked him, a fresh wound on his neck pulsing crimson down the front of his white lab coat. His eyes were glassy and dead, and his red-rimmed mouth opened in a scream before he sprinted towards them. Betty grabbed Haley's hand and dragged her down the next hallway a few yards up.
"Move, girl, move!"
she barked. The two of them cut down a hallway, away from the patient rooms and back towards the exam rooms that were full of various machinery. It wasn't a very long hall, only about 50 yards and leading to a dead end. They got part of the way down before realizing that they weren't the first to try that escape route. A small mob of the hungry creatures knelt around something at the far end, feasting. The nurses stopped in their tracks, the squeak from their shoes alerting the creatures to their presence. A couple of them broke away from the buffet and ran towards them, one in scrubs and one in civilian clothes.
"Gotta get to the office,"
Betty cried, taking off towards the second door on the right, about a 20-yard dash. She knew it was the only room in the hallway that had a window, which would be their only hope of escape. She grabbed Haley's hand to bring her along, but lost her grip because her friend was rooted to the spot. Before Betty could scream at Haley to move, Dr. Rivera slammed into the nurse from behind, sinking his teeth into her shoulder before they even hit the floor. A sob escaped from Betty's throat, but she didn't have time to mourn, and she knew her friend was beyond saving, so she forced her body to run to the office. She moved as fast as her legs would allow, putting her on a collision course with the ghouls coming her way. It soon became apparent that she wasn't going to make it to the office before they did. So she darted to the left side of the hallway, which pulled the rushing creatures to that side. When she was within a couple of yards of them, Betty leapt to the right, shoving the sprinting monsters aside and narrowly avoiding their grabby hands. She reached the door, relief flooding her at the sight of the window. The relief evaporated immediately as 2 zombies rushed her from inside the office. She backpedaled away from the door as the creatures smacked into each other, trying to get through the opening at the same time. This bought Betty precious seconds, the moans and footsteps approaching her from all sides. Betty whipped around, finding the pharmacy room as the only door she could get to. She darted inside and slammed the door shut behind her, locking it. The room was small, more of a decently sized pantry filled with drugs. The front was a door and wall with glass running along the top of it. Within seconds of getting inside, 6 of those creatures pressed up against the glass, smearing blood and banging their heads on the window in an attempt to get at her. Tears swelled in her eyes as the hopelessness of her situation crashed down on her all at once. She was trapped, and her colleagues and Dr. Rivera stood outside of the door trying to get inside to kill her. Her own boss. When Haley joined them, her once beautiful eyes roomy as she gnawed at the glass,
Betty sank to the floor, staring up at her co-worker and friend, now a dead, flesh-hungry monster. Tears streamed down Betty's face, and sobs racked her, and she pushed herself against the back wall, hugging her knees to her chest. An hour went by, and the ghouls outside still hadn't lost interest with her. All she could do was sit, cry, and stare at her undead co-workers. She let her mind wander, putting the events of the day together. People got mysteriously sick, then others began showing up in the ER with bites, and those culminated in the evil creatures standing before her. Her eyes widened when she remembered what the paramedic had said. 7 calls in 10 minutes. It was likely that this thing was happening everywhere, at least in Beaufort. She had no phone, no TV, no way to find out anything outside of her immediate field of vision. It was possible she was trapped in this room, and nobody in town could get here to help her.
3 minutes without air, she murmured to herself. 3 days without water. 3 weeks without food. That's what can kill you.
She swallowed hard. Death from dehydration was horrible, only slightly better than the alternative of being eaten alive.
I'm good on air, but have about 70 hours until I dehydrate, she whispered, and about 50 hours before I'm too weak to do anything.
She clenched her fists.
That's not how I want to go, she said, her voice louder. That's not how I'm going to go.
She pulled herself together long enough to look at all the drugs on the counter, poring over each label before finally grabbing one from the shelf. She read the label, giving herself a solemn nod before sitting back down and setting the bottle beside her. She looked up at the hungry zombies, and then down at her watch, setting a timer for 50 hours.
50 hours, she murmured. Somebody is bound to be here within 50 hours.
She imagined the military boys down on Paris Island could run these creatures through pretty quickly. Somebody would find the hospital doors chained shut and call it in. She smirked to herself.
Maybe one of those big strong soldiers can carry me out of here and onto a beach, she thought,
closing her eyes for a moment to revel in the fantasy. But the smirk faded as reality set in, and Betty's eyes opened to stare at the monsters still trying to get in at her. She let out a defeated sigh, knowing that her daydream was a very unlikely outcome. She fingered the bottle of pills.
At least I know the end will be peaceful, she whispered,
and laid down on her side, trying to get comfortable on the floor. The nurse closed her eyes, hoping that when she opened them again, this nightmare would be over. The end.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.